"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. Today.
I always feel like I should have a cocktail.
Is it because of the look there or just the mood of the music?
It's the music. Music may just made me think we're in a little jazz bar here.
Swanky jazz bar lounge.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
we missed this on Monday. You know, the sports teams still go to the White House to get recognized for the championships. So the NHL champion Tampa Bay Lightning were honored at the White House. And while Biden was talking about them, he's got that, he wears those aviator sunglasses sometimes. It looks weird, like a Secret Service agent.
A lot of old people do that.
He kept referring to the NHL commissioner, whose name is Gary Bettman, as Batman. And apparently some of the Tampa Bay players behind him liked it. They're smiling, looking at each other like, what the hell? Did it more than once.
Gary Batman.
Yeah. Can't read a name off the...
Every day.
Oh, boy. So are your relatives doing okay? Because Russia's cut off the natural gas to Poland.
Actually, we talked to them a couple of weeks ago.
You did? Are they taking in Ukrainians?
Well, because one of the relatives may come and visit next year.
Oh. And, one of the ones you met years ago when you went there?
Yes.
Okay. These are your father's people?
My father's cousins.
Right.
Well, I guess they're my cousins.
Right.
So they were far to the west in Poland, so they're not they're not near the border.
Right.
So nothing's changed in their life.
Right. They haven't seen a bunch of Ukrainians come to town.
The natural gas that Russia sends that keeps everything heated in Poland, and Polish winters are very long and very cold.
They're coming out of winter now, though. Maybe. Right.
It's almost. Yeah, but, you know, it's
Poland's like Buffalo. It's still 40.
Let me see what the Warsaw weather is.
I went to school in Buffalo, and there was a huge Polish population. I said, oh, that explains my theory that sometimes people immigrate to a place in the U.S. that reminds them of the home country.
Oh, absolutely. All the Polish went to northern cities.
Yeah, Chicago, right?
Chicago, Milwaukee, Buffalo, Ontario, Canada. Yeah.
And they were instantly attracted by the clouds.
Yeah, nobody, like my dad had no interest in moving to Florida. Everything. You get to South Jersey and it was too warm for him. Everything was too hot.
I couldn't imagine your dad in Florida.
No. They went down there a couple of times. He didn't like it. Let me see, 46 degrees right now at 40. No, wait, that's Warsaw, Indiana. Yeah, never mind. Why would he give me Warsaw, Indiana? Stupid.
Well, it pops up when you start.
It's 50 degrees in Warsaw, Poland. That's mild.
50.
Yeah. High every day around 60 degrees. That's not so bad.
Let's see if that's even better than, maybe not. Some of the East Coast cities have been having warmer weather as well.
So, the need for...
New York is 53, so it's pretty close.
Yeah, the need for natural gas for the heating system maybe is not that great right now. But things are going to get bad there.
Well,
this goes on for the rest of the year.
Poland gets 45%. Of its gas from Russia, but you had mentioned yesterday they rely overwhelmingly on coal. For an EU member to be so climate inactive.
The Polish government rebels against all the EU wieners.
We know about the immigration thing too,
yeah. Not dealing with immigration, not dealing with green energy.
Yeah.
I swear I think there's some genetic component to a nation's views. I mean, I feel personally exactly like the Polish government does on everything.
Is that right?
Every time something comes in the news about the Polish government, it's like, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that's me.
It's kind of a conservative Catholic country, though, isn't it?
Very much so.
Not big on gay people, not big on...
I don't know. I know they're very religious there.
I have read they have some issues there with the LGBT community.
Nobody's perfect.
They're going to... They've said that they have stored gas, and they're going to have two pipelines coming online. Now, Bulgaria is a bigger problem. They get over 90% of their natural gas from Russia. But they are expecting to increase imports from, you don't hear this country too often, Azerbaijan. And they have a pipeline connection to Greece. Putin's not going to like all this, is he?
No, he'll start bombing it.
If you start finding ways to get around me by taking your gas from other countries,
they're going to have to.
I will punish them.
It shows you how trendy and stupid people in politics are, that you never, ever trust Russia, ever, with your energy
you
needs.
Right.
Never.
Nothing and you really need should come from that. Or China, but then again, look at the world now.
Stop falling for...
I wouldn't trust China either.
Stop falling for Greta Thunberg and wind power and green power and all this other nonsense. Solar power doesn't work, not reliable, too expensive. It's not been thought out. No battery storage available for this. Just keep burning gas and oil and coal. That's what you do to protect yourself. And get it either if you can't drill it yourself, get it from friendly nations.
And by the way, Putin's doing this because Poland, of course, has been a gateway for the delivery of weapons to Ukraine. And it just confirmed this week they're sending Ukraine some tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Tanks a lot.
Well, you have to. If you're Poland, you're next on the list.
So I like this. After Russia's state energy giant, it's called Gazprom. We are your gas company, Gazprom. After they made this announcement, they were cutting back Poland's natural gas. Poland announced a new set of sanctions against the company. Oh, fine. Okay. And other Russian businesses and, of course, the oligarchs.
Yeah.
How are the oligarchs doing, do we know? Are they still running around the world hiding their yachts?
Rich guys are always doing fine.
There's one that died, and supposedly they thought it was a murder-suicide, but his son is telling all the world that will listen that he thinks they were murdered.
Had he spoken out against Putin?
I don't know. He died, his wife died, and their daughter died. The investigation, I forget which country this is in, I'd have to look it up, was that it looks like murder, suicide. He killed them, then killed himself. The son says, no way.
Yeah.
My father was murdered. My family was murdered.
He said, no way?
No, he's just trying to give you some Russian. It's probably not exactly like that. So the idea here is to send a message to the entire 27-nation European Union that Poland and Bulgaria are first And of course, Germany and Italy are the biggest consumers of Russian natural gas in Europe. And they're already working on ways around.
That's why we should have been a leader on shipping natural gas to Europe for years and years now. And we got infected by all the woke weenies and cut down production. We didn't build pipelines. We didn't build ports.
Right.
You know, fuel ports need to be built, not only in this country to export it, but in Germany they need ports to import the natural gas. I mean, it's just colossal stupidity. And thought because we're worried about the planet, you know, because in 100 years it might be 2 degrees warmer and we won't be able to handle it. It's like, yeah, you know how warm it gets when it's going to get when Putin unleashes his nuclear weapons. It's going to get really hot. Boy, you have no idea.
As we speak, Germany's putting up 10,000 more windmills just as we speak.
Windmills.
Get around.
We'll show you, Vladimir. We're going to put up windmills.
Now, the official reason why Poland got shut off from the natural gas as well as Bulgaria is, look at this, John, they would not pay in rubles. They wouldn't pay for the natural gas. Remember that came out a few months ago or weeks ago?
Yeah.
That Russia demanded all payment come for the gas and the other.
Well, they're trying to, bulk up the value of their rubles. So,
the ruble.
You just can't do business with them. I mean, it's going to take a while for workarounds, but this should be a permanent workaround.
Yeah, I saw because, a story that, here it is. Russian inflation is approaching 20%. That's worse than ours.
Yeah. He doesn't care, though. That's the thing. We're all running around with our hair on fire, but he doesn't care.
Don't the people care? Shouldn't they storm the Kremlin?
Yeah.
Annual inflation in Russia accelerated to 17.62% as of April 15th, the highest in 20 years.
If he's really that sick and is going to die soon, then anything's possible.
Yeah, I wonder what happens. I mean, is there somebody waiting in the wings? Or
I've heard people say, oh, no, he's not going to start a nuclear war because he doesn't want to die. He knows the missiles will be aimed at him. It's like, what if he knows he's going to die, like, in 6 months?
Then he doesn't care, right?
And he doesn't care.
He might as well go out with a bang.
Exactly.
I saw a headline today. I didn't read the story. Who can somebody win a nuclear war? And I'm like, well, I guess you
have to define the terms.
Yeah, really?
Right?
How much destruction will a country take before it puts up its hands and says we quit?
If we have 100 people left and Russia has 50, then yeah, I guess we win.
It's a faster war, I would imagine. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KF.
I found a long story in USA Today, and it's one of those stories about Vladimir Putin that fascinates us here at the John and Ken Show, and this is what he does to his rivals. To those who question his leadership or do something worse, like try to get laws passed in other countries, which can affect his power and his economy. Basically, the list is you're either imprisoned or you're killed. One of the most well-known ones that I remember, we've talked about it a few times, is a man by the name of Alexander Litvinenko. He was a former spy for the FSB. That's a successor to the good old KGB. He was poisoned in London in 2006. He sipped some tea spiked with a lethal radioactive poison known as polonium-210. He had defected to the UK and became a big critic of Putin. He described Putin's leadership as the mafia state. There was corruption in the Kremlin. The European Court of Human Rights ruled in 2021 that Russia assassinated Litvinenko and ordered Putin's government to pay his wife €122,500. Not sure that happened, do you think? It was only last year, but he also wrote a couple of books, what he said was exposing Putin's inner circle, corruption, and his outrageous government. There was another guy by the name of Marina Salye, one of the earliest critics of Putin, talking about Putin's accumulation of wealth back as early as the early 90s. We had talked about this before. Putin was an undercover KGB agent in East Germany. He was there when the Berlin Wall fell, and that devastated him. He really did not. He began to see, I guess, what was the beginning and the end of the Soviet power.
Because he felt that normal citizens should have no power in determining government. None.
Yes.
He was appalled and angry by the mobs that
were
tearing
mad
things down.
And obviously, the breakup of the Soviet Union a couple of years later was worse, but That was 1989, and he was really just seething over that. And he apparently came back from Germany, and he started to accumulate wealth. He got export licenses for raw materials, oil products, timber, aluminum, cotton. He was doing pretty well. And this person by the name of Marina Salyi started to expose some of this. Salyi died in 2012, just weeks after urging that Putin be tried for corruption. And again, they suspect it was some sort of poisoning. Salyi and another city official, Yuri Gladkov, both were working on exposing Putin's accumulation of wealth, and both met their demise. A lot of the other people in the story were either poisoned or imprisoned. One guy, which is interesting, although he survived, he is a family lawyer by the name of Nikolai Gorakov. He apparently fell off a fourth floor balcony right before he was going to testify in court on a case involving Russian corruption. And he later said it was no accident that I went flying off the balcony. There's a guy by the name of William Browder. He's the founder and the CEO of Hermitage Capital. He helped persuade our government to pass something called the Magnitsky Act. And the law allows the U.S. to sanction certain officials and prevent them from hiding money in the United States. Apparently, Putin was not a fan of that either. And this guy got in trouble for that. He also died under suspicious circumstances.
Well, that's how you stay the ruler. You have to kill everybody who's trying to get in your way, who's trying to damage your power.
Yeah, yeah, this is what you do. Because he was KGB, Putin, you know, uses sort of the quiet method sometimes of poisoning, or sometimes he just sends a hit team. There was one guy named Boris Nemtsov, a Russian opposition leader and activist, and he was killed on a bridge near the Kremlin in 2015. He wanted the U.S. Congress and European Parliament to investigate Putin corruption, and that was the end of his...
Yeah, I mean, leaders have done this for years. He just uses the poison method, which is very quiet. Doesn't leave a lot of evidence.
It is,
doesn't make
very,
a big fuss.
It's CIA KGB like. It's
right.
Kind of the way you do things. It's the way he was trained.
I mean, if I was the big leader, right, and I didn't want any blowback from anyone, any trouble, any investigation, accusations, you know, you think of ways to eliminate your enemies.
And not just threaten them, but actually...
No, you just get rid of them. I mean, if nobody's going to call you on it, right? Like, if you could get away with everything you'd want to do, would you do it? I think about that a lot.
Oh, wow.
If I knew 100% I could get away with something, would I do it?
Where's your conscience in all this?
Hmm?
conscience!
Why worry about a conscience? Why worry about... The whole point is people don't do stuff because there's consequences, right?
Wow.
So if there are no consequences, what are you worried about a conscience for?
Karma. It's going to come back to haunt you.
What's the conscience going to do? You tell it to shut up.
The one that most people are familiar with because it just happened is Alexei Navalny. He was a Russian opposition leader, an anti-corruption activist. He spent years trying to get everybody to take a look at Putin's wealth, his corruption, and his cronyism. In 2020, he was poisoned and nearly killed. The part that I find a little amazing is he returned to Russia in January 2021. I remember they treated him in one of the European countries, might have been Germany. And he returned to Russia. He was arrested in January, and then he just got sentenced to a prison term.
I mean, if you want to spend your life in prison and being poisoned, that's what you want to do with your life. Putin's going to win. He has absolute power. You can't be one guy waving your hand in the air saying, hey, he's bad, he's bad, he's corrupt. It's like, yeah, we all know he's corrupt. But he has an army. You need an army.
He wants the people to rise up.
They're never going to rise up.
Well, if enough of them do, they can carry Putin out nude.
Yes, but they don't. Look at all the oppression in all
sheeple.
The countries. They don't. Human beings don't do that. They just obediently go along. Very rarely do people revolt. Very rarely in great enough numbers for it to matter. John and Ken, KFI.
1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Got something in your mind at 3 a.m.? Yeah, call that toll-free number. You had a lot to drink. That happens often. Last week, I remember everybody sounded, it was a really grouchy bunch, and a lot of them sounded like they had had a few.
Yeah. Drunk.
It's like the good old days when we first put the moist line on. That's all they called.
A lot of drunken foul moods. That's our audience.
So today, we had mentioned the other day that if the Republicans get control of the U.S. House of Representatives, they're going to spend a lot of time on Hunter Biden. There's something else they're going to do, which became pretty clear today. They're going to go after the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. In fact, the word is impeachment. Didn't know you can do that, but you can, I guess, impeach a cabinet official. Today,
you know, if there ever was one to be impeached, it's him.
Well, yeah, when you hear this audio, too, it's a head-scratcher. And he's got a big, bald head, so I don't know what he's scratching.
Because he's incompetent, and he's a liar. And he has no brains and no character.
Well, if you were given the job and told, look, whatever you do, just reverse everything Trump did, or you're fired, and then you want go ahead and do that, and you see what's happening at the border, your next impulse is to tell everybody the border's fine. He actually said today at a budget hearing, I guess two of them, at the House of Representatives, it's like the Appropriations Committee, the border is being effectively managed. Well, how could that not be laughed off the stage?
Because there's nobody to do the laughing. Because the media...
Well, no, Republicans screamed at him.
No, what I'm saying is, though, but the media will just present, you know, his side of the story and repeat his lines over and over again. Other than Fox News, none of the networks, none of the major newspapers are doing extensive coverage of what's going on at the border. Bill Malusian is there almost every day filing reports. If it wasn't for him, for Fox. If it wasn't for him, I personally wouldn't know what's going on. I cannot find anything of substance on a regular basis from any of the other news sources.
The border numbers are the highest they've been in 20 years. An amazing number of people came to try to get into the United States in the year 2021, the first year of the Biden administration. This is no accident. They felt the call when they found out Trump is gone, Biden's in charge, policies are getting reversed left and right. Let's go. Why do you think the Supreme Court is here in that Remain in Mexico case? That was a policy instituted by Trump, and then we have this Title 42 struggle going on.
They want to let in an unlimited amount of people. It's not hundreds of thousands, it's millions. And they want to spend the next 2 years, because they're all going to be out of power in 2 years, they want to spend the next 2 years stuffing the country with millions of poor, mostly unskilled, uneducated illegal aliens. And they're going to pile into the cities.
Yeah, in fact, I think Victor Davis Hanson just wrote a column effectively saying that this seems to be the strategy to change the demographics in their favor. But if you look at what's been going on, if we reported on this in the last few months, there are a number of Latino voters who were not exactly toeing the line with the Democrat Party. They're starting to show a shift. This may not be the best strategy for the Democrats of Biden, the woke people, I should say.
I know, but they want to change the country. What they want to do is reduce the European influence in the country.
Even if the votes don't go their party's way, because some of the immigrants decide we're not woke.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know why. You could see things going very badly for them, clearly. Most of their policies are wildly unpopular. And in the past, if you ever got into that zone, you would shift your policies. You would neuter them. They're not. So what does that tell you? They want to do this, and they don't care about the consequences. Either that or they're completely delusional and they actually think that they're going to be able to campaign on this and win the message battle or whatever cliche they use. They're going to get their heads handed to them and all the rest of their body parts.
All right, here is Mayorkas talking about how effectively they've managed the border. And of course, it was a mess under Trump. If you believe the opposite universe, here we go.
We inherited a broken and dismantled system that is already under strain.
Why?
It's not built to manage the current levels and types of migratory flows. Only Congress can fix this. Yet, we have effectively managed an unprecedented number of non-citizens seeking to enter the United States and interdicted more drugs and disrupted more...
Stop this. Somebody wrote a column on this. I think it was Mark Krikorian today. This is the trick, the sleight of hand. You got to watch the words that he uses. They're trying to effectively manage the inflow. There shouldn't be an inflow. What you should do is have the policies that block the inflow. But that's not the goal here, as Mark Krikorian from Center, where is he, with the Center for Immigration Studies?
He is, yes.
Yeah. So we have him on the show all the time. Krikorian said, you got to look carefully what they're saying. They want these people coming in. They just want to manage the flow better. That's what they're going to be bragging about. Hey, we have this unprecedented inflow of immigrant, and we are doing everything we can to manage them. It's like, no. That's not your job. Your job was to block the flow, to keep them out. So they're again, this is what they want. They would just like to make the whole process neater so it wouldn't get continuous coverage on Fox News all day because it's so messy and unwieldy.
The month of March marked a 13th straight month of over 150,000 border encounters. That's a trend that's never been recorded before. And Mayorkas actually tried to tell this committee today, well, you have to remember some of those are the same people. That's counting people that, you know, we deported or we sent back and they came again.
You know what?
So you can't.
I don't need all the nerd excuses. He's going to come up with all these reasons why the number's actually a little lower than it. You know what? The numbers are all really high. They're all really bad.
You'll like this next piece of audio from Dopey Baldo Mayorkas. He told the, because this is about the numbers, this is a budget hearing, that to stop construction of Trump's border wall projects, it cost the U.S. $72 million. Here's the audio.
The wall projects, the majority of them, rest in the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineer. Those that we ourselves control, I believe that the cost of discontinuing them is approximately $72 million. And I will follow up with you to ensure the accuracy of my statement this morning.
What does that mean? They have to pay off the contractors who had deals?
I don't know.
How could it cost $72 million to stop building something?
I have no idea.
Only the government can come up with that one.
Yeah, we're not doing something. That'll be $72
million. Exactly.
Oh, all right, well.
By the way, he also says when this whole Title 42 thing happens next month and it's supposed to expire, that's the one that's kept out a lot of migrants. It's a public health order over COVID, and there's a judge that so far has stopped the Biden administration from ending it, but we'll see where that goes because that's appealed. He says we're going to send 600 more Border Patrol agents down there to deal with the expected rush, I guess, of migrants who realize, oh, can no longer expel me under Title 42. We're going. And they want to add detention space, but they have nowhere what they need in detention space.
No, I think there was like 670,000 people that came over the border in a certain period of time recently that ought to be sent to detention, but there's only 34,000 rooms or 34,000 beds.
Beds
so
or whatever
the crowd is 670,000. They can only accommodate 34,000.
That's why the Trump administration went with Remain in Mexico, because they said we don't have the space to hold these people or to keep an eye on them. They got to wait in Mexico until they get to their case.
They can only detain 5% of the immigrants that they're letting in. 5%.
All right. Stay with us on this story. At 5 o'clock, Brandon Judd is coming back on the show. Brandon, of course, is the head of the union for the Border Patrol agents. We'll get his take on Mayorkas. More coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You know, years ago when we were battling what was then a huge crime surge in California, our focus would often be the public safety committees in Sacramento and the State Assembly and the State Senate. We're revisiting one of them today in the State Senate. Yesterday, they had another hearing on this bill dealing with fentanyl poisoning. We talked to a man by the name of Matt Capaluto, who lost his daughter, Alexandra, a college student, to fentanyl poisoning a couple of years back. She was trying to acquire some oxycodone, and it was tainted with fentanyl. And he worked with State Senator Melissa Melendez on a bill that would deal more harshly with those who deal drugs. He compared it to sort of drunk driving. You'd get notice, and the next time you could be charged. Anyway, it died. The bill did not make it out of the Public Safety Committee. A apparently this is not the first time that's happened, but this is the latest time. Matt will join us at 3:05.
And there's a horrific list of legislators who either voted no or even worse, abstained because maybe they're running for re-election and they don't want an ad against them, which is what they do when you have a vote that you're really not proud of.
Yes.
You abstain, which is the same as a no vote.
A few of them did that on the gas tax repeal.
Well, same thing. Same thing.
Proposing. A couple of Democrats just abstained. So
no, they're repulsive cowards, and they don't even, they're not even willing to stand up for their own putrid votes.
My favorite story of the day. We mentioned earlier this hour that Vladimir Putin likes to deal with dissenters, poisoning, jail. Mm. Yeah. Right, this isn't that bad, but it's a former eBay executive by the name of James Baugh. eBay, you're familiar with eBay, everybody? They're still out there. It's from San Jose. Apparently, there was a couple. It looks like this couple from the Boston area, Ina and David Steiner. They published some online shopping newsletter, and it contained reports and comments that were critical of eBay. Well, when word got to Mr. Baugh, who was apparently the senior director of safety and security at eBay, he decided that, and this is a very odd thing, we need to harass them. And he suggested that they send the couple things like live insects or maybe porn, strippers. He was somewhat being influenced by, I don't know, movies he'd seen. Well, what happened was they did do this. They complained they were terrified and suffered substantial emotional distress because apparently what happened was they were sent, including, among other things, a pig fetus, a dead pig fetus.
Oh, my God.
In a package in the mail.
A dead pig fetus?
Yes.
Where do you even order one of those?
I would imagine maybe from a pig farm.
Oh, my God.
No.
Who do you call up to get a pig fetus? And how do you box that up?
I have no idea. He also said he was watching some 1980s movie in which friends arranged a delivery to the football coach's home. Things he didn't order or want, like pizzas. One time it was an elephant. So apparently, they apparently started to send pornographic magazines to the couple's home and to their neighbor's home. And then they put an ad on Craigslist that the couple and local college students could come to Steiner's address for free booze and a good time. Mm. Another suggests people come for threesomes and bondage. And by the way,
and this is
along
one of
the preserve fetal pig, he also sent spiders, cockroaches, and maggots to their home.
This is because they had a bad review of eBay that they posted.
Yeah, a newsletter from a couple in Natick, Massachusetts.
I looked this guy.
How could they possibly? He actually ended up sending some operatives to put a GPS tracking device they wanted to hide on their car to surveil the couple.
You know, this is like cult-like behavior, which is I'm noticing about the social media companies. They're all like part of a powerful cult, and they become obsessed with the power that they have, and how they're capable of striking out if they wish. And I looked up this eBay executive, and he just looks like a middle-aged frat boy a-hole. Some of these guys have a certain kind of look, and you see them. It's like, yeah, I could see this guy doing that. It's just a tremendous amount of arrogance that somebody infringed on his kingdom, and that they're going to be smacked down and tortured and taught a lesson.
The couple produced a newsletter. It was called E-Commerce Bites. The wife was a reporter and editor, and the husband was a publisher. I mean, really, they really bothered with these people. They've sued eBay. Because, you know, all the things I described are pretty ridiculous and horrific, especially sending people to the house looking for sex. Who knows? You could get a crazy rapist or worse.
But what does that tell you about the arrogance and the ego of these tech executives? That this wasn't just a joke, but the hypersensitive, right? You know, a newsletter nobody ever heard of. write some passing criticisms that nobody's ever going to read. I mean, who's reading an e-commerce newsletter?
Doesn't it remind you of some old program directors we've had in radio who worry about one or two complaint calls and get worked up over it, like it really matters?
See, that's the whole social media phenomenon, is you have random strangers who write things, and it suddenly becomes news stories. And, it's like radio executives reacting to something on Twitter.
Oh, we got it today. We got an email complaining about you guys. I'm not imitating anybody in particular.
But the thing is, it's like postings on social media are like listening to random conversations on the street. If you heard people muttering these lines on the street, you wouldn't find them newsworthy or important.
No, or like in a bar or a restaurant sitting behind you.
Eavesdrop on idiots at a bar. For some reason, when something is put into writing in the human brain, it takes on this outsized importance. Yeah. It's like, well, you know what was posted on Twitter about? It's like,
we got to react to that.
I mean, 99.9% of what's posted on Twitter is absolutely, utterly irrelevant to everything. And yet look at the insatiable obsession this week as Elon Musk is taking over. It's like, especially among like journalists and commentators, who gives a crap what you post? Who cares about your stupid thoughts? Who cares about your petty issues and how your feuds that you have with each other? I don't understand what the obsession is with people's random thoughts being posted as opposed to just being muttered, in a restaurant.
Speaking of Twitter,
or in their homes,
give you more of the response from the Twitter employees who are quivering, quaking. They are apparently having a meltdown over Elon Musk's takeover.
And eBay,
but coming up next,
eBay basically sells junk from one person to the next.
Yeah, I know. They were one of the original purveyors. All right. So coming up next, though, we're going to be talking to a father by the name of Matt Capiluto, whose daughter Alexandra died when she wanted to get some oxycodone pills, and they were laced with fentanyl. And that's what this discussion will be about, trying to get a bill passed in California to deal with people who sell drugs with fentanyl in them. Coming up.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark has the news, KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. Today.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. actually a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.